Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Blogger Mornings. I am Brian Nemhauser. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, wherever you find your content at Hawk Blogger. And we had a really, really fun show last night. If you did not catch the last episode of Real Hawk Talk, where we brought in Brock Heward, a former Husky, former Seahawk, current co-host of Brock and Salk every morning. We had a great time last night. Nathan Ernst, Jeff Simmons, myself, or Andrew, as I think Brock mistakenly was calling Nathan for part of the night. Just a great 90 minutes of conversation, 60 with Brock and another 30 after that with me and the fellas. And, you know, I've been doing this now for many, many years, and that was one of the best episodes we've done. And not because we did anything special. It just was, sometimes it works. And that's one to catch. So make sure you go find it. If you missed it, it's one you'll be happy you listened to. I could have talked to Brock for another few hours. Hopefully we'll have him back again and continue with what were plenty of things we could have talked about. We are going to talk about something different today. We're going to go a little bit deeper on an aspect of this team and an aspect of this draft that's pretty darn important, but also is not necessarily what a lot of coverage focuses on because it's not the sexiest position. I happen to love it. I know defensive coaches love it, but nose tackle, the guys that play right over the center, you know, the A gap, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here, but it's a pretty key part of the Mike Macdonald defense. And Jonathan Hankins was their only true nose tackle last year. Now Byron Murphy can play that position and did, and he plays it well, but they need a big guy in there. And I'll go over a little bit of reminders of the size of the players that Mike Macdonald has tended to have at that position and why the Seahawks are missing that kind of body type on the roster right now. This draft happens to have a lot of those guys in it. I'm going to go through a lot of names. We're going to look through some of their stats, some of the draft profiles. I think there's some names that I'll learn something about today along with you. That's part of the point of this show, is we don't have to always have the answers. We'll go through it and figure it out together. And if you haven't already, give the show a like, click subscribe, click the little bell to get notified when we go live, because, you know, I try to go live roughly the same time every day, but my schedule changes. So the best way to stay informed is to click that bell. Before I get into the topic of the day with nose tackles, couple little tidbits. One, just to keep announcing this for people that are catching it at different times. For the last year, the only place you could get the audio versions of this show, Hawk Blogger Mornings, was on Patreon. You had to pay for it, patreon.com/hawkblogger. You get other things for being a patron, but you had to pay to get the audio version of this show. And the audio version's nice because, you know, I go through, I'll edit it, I'll make sure the sound levels are right, you know, all that stuff. So the audio version is always a really nice thing to have. Well, I'm now making that available to everybody free of charge. So anybody who wants to listen to the audio version of this show and Real Hawk Talk and our emergency podcast and everything else that we do, that's all going to be free. It's all available for everybody, anywhere you get your podcasts. The other thing that's going to happen, though, is that you will start hearing ads on the audio versions of the show. And the cool thing is, one, that helps me, helps the show. Two, if you don't want ads, all you got to do is sign up at patreon.com/hawkblogger. There will always be ad-free versions over there. So apologies if you heard this a bunch already, but I want to make sure people understand what's going on. Again, making this available to everybody free of charge. It will be ad supported. If you don't want to hear ads, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/hawkblogger, sign up there. You'll get ad free versions of this audio. And by the way, on Patreon, you can get a private link that lets you add the podcast to it wherever you get your podcasts. So you can listen to it. You can get the same feed ad free, but you got to be a patron to do it. You also get access to the Discord channel and other stuff when you do that. So just wanted to make sure people had that info. So let's get into it with the nose tackle situation. There's a lot of names that are intriguing, I think, in this group. And I want to start by just having the coach himself tell you why this matters and how important that position is. This is him just a couple of days ago answering a question about how he feels about the nose tackle situation.
Well, I think, you know, I think we can play right now and we're rolling. You know, a guy that can say like primary A-gap player is important to this defense. So however that manifests itself is going to could be someone we acquire or draft. Could be kind of a role type of deal where we, you know, divvy it up to the guys we have on the team. But Murph can play in there. Jay Reed can play in there. Lee can do that in spots. But we'd love someone to emerge as a primary A-gap guy for us.
So that is Coach McDonald talking about when he talks about the A-gap, he's talking about right over the center, right down the middle of the defense. And one of the first Hawk Blog Mornings I ever did, I went through and we talked about the typical size of the nose tackles that have played for Mike McDonald's defense. And if you look at the Ravens and you look at the guys that they have run in there over the years, they're large men. So if you go back to a couple years to when Mike McDonald was there, you had Michael Pierce, who is 355 pounds. Okay. You had Travis Jones, who is 338 pounds. And, you know, even Broderick Washington, who is not as much a nose tackle, but, you know, he's a 315 pound guy. It's a lot. So those are Broderick Washington really didn't play nose for them. So I'm going to set that aside. You go back to Michigan. When he was at Michigan, you're talking about guys like Mazi Smith, 335 pound man. Like, he puts large men in the middle of that line. Jonathan Hankins last year. Jonathan Hankins was 320, 330 pounds last year. So this is not your 300 pound, 305, 310 pound, you know, three technique defensive tackle who's a mover and those types of things. Typically, that's not what they do. Now, you heard Mike McDonald say that they could play if they needed to with the guys they have. They could divvy it up. Byron Murphy has played there. Jaron Reed can play there. Leonard Williams can play there a bit. None of those guys fit this physical profile of a primary A-gap player. So that's where we get into talking about some of these names that are available in this draft class. And you can kind of go anywhere you want with this particular position. I think we can start. We're going to start with, I think, a name that is a little bit less discussed more broadly, a guy that I really like. I certainly talked about him a lot. His name is Jamari Caldwell, and he played at University of Oregon. He's 6'2", 332 pounds, so he fits the bill. And one of the things you're going to hear me talk about as I go through this is that there are some of these guys that you're going to hear, like Darius Alexander is a name you hear a lot. He's a defensive tackle. That's great. He's not a nose tackle. That's not what he plays. So I'm going to be focusing on the biggest of the big boys that really fit this bill. And I'm going to talk about when they played, how much they played in the A-gap and how they played in the A-gap. There's a PFF draft guide that has just been released that actually is great because it tells us not just how they played and what positions they, what positions on the line, but how did they grade when they were in those positions as well? And so Caldwell's a guy who, he actually had his highest grade when he was in the A gap. He was an 87.1 graded player as an A gap nose tackle for the Ducks. He was a 72.2 player in B gap. And then he played a handful of snaps at C gap, but we're not going to really worry about that. So the A gaps, you know, again, on either side of the center or just over the center, either of those. And this is a guy that I loved when I watched at the Senior Bowl. I had not known much about him, but he jumped out. He also is the guy that when I asked Gray Zabel at the Senior Bowl, who's the guy that caught your attention? He said, number 90 for the Ducks. And that was Caldwell. So this is a guy that, you know, he said that some of the NFL teams wanted to know how he could rush the passer, and he was trying to show that. He was very explosive. His acceleration at the Senior Bowl was really impressive. In fact, I want to bring up that Senior Bowl data here. And I can do this for you and actually show you or talk to you about who is the max acceleration guys. And let's go to defensive line. There we go. So Jamari Caldwell had the second fastest acceleration of any of the defensive linemen at the Senior Bowl. That included the edge rushers. That included, you know, Oluwafemi Oladejo, included Shamar Stewart, you know, included some of like amazing athletes. Jamari Caldwell had one of the fastest accelerations of any of the players there. So he's just an interesting athlete. He's a guy that I think is worth keeping an eye on for the Seahawks. And I think probably a guy that you're looking at in day three. I don't think he'll sneak into day two, but I think he's, you know, could be an early day three, kind of round four, fourth round kind of guy. So that's the first guy. And one of the things that as I look at this, I'll kind of tell you some of the other pieces about these guys as we go through it. So his RAS score, let's see if he's got one yet. Not great. No, his RAS score, 35th percentile. Now that's at defensive tackle. I think I can do it just as a nose tackle. I can, which is cool. Thank you to Kent Lee Platy for continually to improve his content. But, you know, he had a 27-inch vertical. He had a 5.16 40. His 10-yard split was not that great. It was 23rd percentile. So he doesn't have elite athletic numbers to talk about. But he is somebody that I think is an interesting player. For what it's worth, he ranked 25th in college football last year among defensive linemen in run defense grade. And there's something called stop percentage. And what stop percentage is the percentage of plays a player runs defensive snaps, the percentage of a player's run defense snaps where he was responsible for a stop. Okay. And stop is any kind of tackle that constitutes a failure for the offense. That's usually not getting to the first down, maybe not getting to the line of scrimmage, anything like that. So you want to be getting stops. And his run stop percentage was not necessarily great. I'm looking here at it. He had an 8.2% run stop rate, which ranked 62nd. So not super high there, but he's an interesting name. But there's some other guys that I think are like another guy that I think is not getting enough attention is a player for Indiana. His name's CJ West. And I'm going to see if I can find, whoops. There we go. So CJ West is 6'1", 316 pounds. And he is a guy that played a decent amount in the A gap. He also got some B gap snaps, but he is like, he's a run stopper. That's kind of his thing. And CJ West had an 11.4% stop rate, which is obviously a lot better than the 8.5 that Jamari Caldwell had. CJ West also ranked 9th in college football in run defense grade, 88.1 last year for Indiana. And I'll read you a little bit of content about CJ West here. There's a little bit of concern because he's got small arms. And I think that that could be something that limits him in terms of whether the Seahawks would be interested. That's probably his biggest downside. He's a little bit smaller, 6'1". I think squatty nose tackles are not the worst thing in the world. You can get pretty good pad level down there. But he only has 31.5-inch arms. And that's gonna hurt him. And so as I look at his RAS score, he has a pretty good RAS score. He is at a 91st percentile just as a defensive tackle. If I switch that to nose tackle, then, well, still the same, essentially, 91st percentile. His height is what hurts him. His weight, you know, 316 is not huge. It's big enough, but it's not huge. His vert, 33-inch vert, 94th percentile. His speed, he ran a 4.95 40, which is outstanding. That's a 95th percentile score. And his 10-yard split was 89th percentile. So this is a guy that has, I think he was a big part of why Indiana had a pretty successful year last year. And he's a name that I don't think many people are talking about, but he's a guy that I find like a very Seahawk-y, a very John Schneider-y kind of player, other than the arm length. So here's a little bit more about him. West is on the smaller side. But you don't have to worry about mass as he plays around 350 pounds, which is more than adequate for the position. He has a quick first step and a high energy style that makes him tough to stay in front of at pass rush situations. He can stop, start, and explode in linear movements, upfield and lateral, where shuffling along the line. His active hands help him hit moves and get clean. And he can also slice through gaps like butter. So he's an impressive strength. He has impressive strength to a two gap when needed. So two gap, for what folks don't know, there's one gap where basically guys are asked to basically attack a single gap. And there's two gapping where they're basically asked to kind of grab a guy, hold him up. And depending on which side the play is going to, shed the block one way or shed him the other way and kind of control the player. So two gapping is less attacking. Also tends to be a little bit more dependent on being pretty strong and being able to handle your offensive linemen and control them. So that's what they're talking about, that he has impressive strength for two gapping. So I think this guy is an interesting name to watch. Definitely a day three kind of guy. He's not someone that has, I think, what you need to be a day two player. I think he could be had probably fifth round or later. And the question for me really gets down to, his arm length. I mean, I think that's the real question. Next guy I'm kind of curious about. I don't think he fits. I was looking at Josh Farmer, because this is a guy that has been really intriguing, but he's only 6'3", 305. And so he's not a guy that really fits the A-gap. He only got 30 snaps in the A-gap. So I'm going to skip Josh Farmer, although that was a guy that I was kind of interested in. I think one of the next guys that's worth talking about is Tyleek Williams, the cover guy for the thumbnail. A little love to the thumbnail game. I thought it was a good thumbnail today. Hopefully you guys like that. Tyleek Williams for Ohio State. And this is a guy that obviously played on a national championship team. He is 6'3", 327 pounds. He's 22 years old. And one of the things that's interesting about Tyleek Williams is, for being on such a heralded team, I think he kind of was not the guy that got the most attention, but he's now starting to. I'm seeing him get a lot of pub from draft analysts as they dive in a little bit more. Latest of which, Ben Solak, who wrote an article for ESPN about his favorite player at every position in the draft. And his answer for interior defensive line was Tyleek Williams. And here's what Ben Solak said. Williams is one of my favorite players in this class. I could not stop watching his film. And anytime I caught more Ohio State defensive film, I was drawn to him. My eyes could not stop looking at this guy. A four-star recruit with multiple years of starting experience. He's one of the best run-defending defensive tackle I've seen in recent drafts. Because the Buckeyes played almost exclusively with four-man fronts, he doesn't get the narrative of a gap-stuffing nose tackle. But goodness gracious, he's 330 pounds of solid, immovable rock. And if that doesn't get your attention, when you talk about Tyleek Williams, you're talking about a guy that shows up in the run game, 86 grade as a run defender by PFF. That ranks 17th among interior defenders last year. He only had a 7.6 run stop rate, so that's not ideal. But the piece here, and I think this is worth acknowledging, is he did not play as many snaps in the A-gap. He only played 12 snaps in the A-gap. And this is what Ben Solak was talking about. So despite the fact he's got the body type, he absolutely has the body type that I think Mike McDonald looks for. He played primarily in the B-gap, which is between the guard and the tackle, if you're wondering. So that's not being asked to really anchor a defense in the same way. So there's a little bit of projection there. But you're talking about a guy, and by the way, when he played the A-gap, his grade there was 77.5. His B-gap grade was 79.2. So he's pretty much the same player, but he only had 12 snaps there. And his run stop percentage is in the 85th percentile, according to PFF. And his run defense grade was in the 75th percentile. And so these are things that are better predictors of how he could perform in the NFL. A little bit more about Tyleek Williams. This is from PFF, says from their draft guide. former four-star defensive tackle recruit from Virginia. He didn't play his senior year of high school after Virginia canceled the season due to COVID, and by his own admission, he let himself go. When he enrolled at Ohio State, he weighed 360 pounds. But after reshaping his body to more controlled 325 to 330, he became a much more consistent player. He was rotational player in 2021 and 2022 before becoming a full-time starter in 2023 and 2024. His calling card is power. He plays with a compact, explosive stance that allows him to fire off the ball and convert speed to power. He has the frame to play both interior spots, nose and three tech, but his skill set is best suited for a run-stuffing nose tackle. However, he lacks a well-developed pass rush arsenal. I don't think that matters. That's not what Mike McDonald asked for from his nose tackle. If he doesn't win with his first step, his rushes tend to fall, to stall out. Okay, whatever. This is a guy that their player comp for him is Deron Payne. It's an interesting person to have as a comp. I think Tyleek Williams is a really interesting guy for the Seahawks. As of now, I think he is 37th on the PFF big board. He is 37th on the PFF big board. I don't know why I didn't trust that the first time. So he's a guy that absolutely could be a day two pick. This is the kind of player you could see the Seahawks using one of their second round picks on. Typically, John Schneider does not use early round selections, day two selections on interior defensive linemen, like especially guys that their primary reason for being picked is run defending. Like Cam Young's a guy he picked a few years ago in the fourth round. That's more typically where he will spend draft capital on nose tackles. But if you want Tyleek Williams, it seems like the latest realistically you could get him would be the third round. I think it would be ideal in some ways if you could get him in the third round. I think he'd be a great add for this team and a really good fit for what they're trying to do. If I look up his RAS score, Tyleek Williams. Let's take a look. He does not have a RAS score. Okay, so we're not going to look it up beyond that. So that's Tyleek Williams. Next guy I wanted to talk about. A little bit of a, again, lesser discussed name. And as I'm kind of looking through here, make sure I got the right name pulled up. I will tell you, like, Deion Walker was a guy that I had initially thought 6'8", 340 pounds. Like, I thought he might be a good fit, but he really is not a guy that profiles as a nose tackle. He's too upright. He's not stout enough against the run. I think he's better off, if you're going to get him at all, as like a three technique and sometimes a five technique even. But here's a name that I really like. And I'm going to actually... Is it worth me trying to do this? I might try to do this. I'm going to see about pulling up some video from the combine from Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips is a guy from Maryland who I had not spent as much time on, but was super impressed by.
Oh, you know,
at the combine. And so Let me pull this up. Let me see. We're going to do this together. So it might take a few seconds for me to find the clip that I'm looking for. but I think it's farther along here.
Here's, like, I came in with James Pierce, so, you know, I got a chance. Oh, it's the field work aspect of it, so earning my teammates' trust, and I plan on doing that by working hard, improving myself every day, and being productive on the field.
Tommy was describing you as just violence.
And so I think all those, I mean, I would come in, I would learn, I would develop. And I mean, football is the ultimate competitive team. I just want everybody to be successful. So this is the reason why I work hard and I drive myself every day.
George,
yeah, I mean, first, as a leader, yeah, I try it. To.
This was the leadership question that sold me on Jordan Phillips. What kind of leader are you? Listen to this answer.
I try to meet everybody and get to know everyone's personality. The reason being is because you can't lead everybody the same, you know. Person A, I might be able to get in his face and, you know, that might wake him up and he might be able to be like, okay, Jordan, like, I got you. But person B, on the other hand, you know, you might just have to go up to him on a one-on-one basis and say, hey, listen, that's not you, you know. So I always try to meet everybody's, you know, needs individually. So it's a different approach with everybody, but the standard is the same. You know, I require everything that I acquire out of myself, out of everyone, you know, my teammates. And so this is really big for me as a leader.
That was an A-plus answer, you know, from a college kid to there are senior leaders I've managed that don't understand what he just explained about how to individualize the way that you manage people, the way that you lead people. And that was precocious, you know? And then on top of that, you get a guy that has played A-gap, played 283 snaps there last year. 73.5 grade was actually graded better when he was in the A-gap. He is 6'3", 320 pounds. And if we look up where he was from a RAS score perspective, 6.76 RAS score. So 67th percentile, 68th percentile. His height is what hurts him, you know, 6'1", but he's again, short. Again, his arm length is an issue. 31.5-inch arms. I think that's going to hurt him, at least with the Seahawks. He did not do 40-yard dash stuff, so we don't have his speed grades. His explosion grades were good, though. 31-inch vertical, 81st percentile. Broad jump, 72nd percentile. He's a pretty interesting athlete and prospect. A little bit more from him about him here. He will be one of the youngest players in this class, having declared with multiple years of eligibility remaining. Phillips was ranked number 51 on Bruce Feldman's College Football Freaks list, boasting a 665-pound squat, 365-pound power clean, and the ability to overhead press 365 pounds for two reps. That power translates to the field, where he's incredibly strong at holding the point of attack. He is below the 20th percentile in height, hands, and arm length. However, his strength and explosiveness compensate for those deficiencies. Even in this current form, he's already a pro-caliber run defender at nose tackle. All right? So this is a guy that they're talking about bringing good guys into the building. Talking about guys that are tough and our leaders. Jordan Phillips is one of those. And I happen to think he's an interesting fit for Seattle. Probably a early day three kind of guy. I would think like round four would be around the time that you could start seeing Jordan Phillips move off the board, primarily because he's not as much of a pass rusher. So that affects where he can be had on the board. As far as where he is on the PFF board, if you're curious, he ranks 80th on the PFF big board, which, you know, again, that could be as early as round three. But I think more realistically, I'd look for him in round four. All right. That's Jordan Phillips, a guy that I like quite a bit, would be an interesting guy that they could add as well. Next guy, let's talk about a player that Byron Murphy probably knows pretty darn well. His name's Alfred Collins. Alfred Collins is 23 years old, played for University of Texas. Sound familiar? 6'5", 320 pounds. And if you look at the top graded run defenders on interior defensive line last year, he was ranked fifth. 89.6 run defense grade from PFF. Had just a 7.5% run stop win rate or stop percentage. So not ideal there, but this is a guy that you could be really talking about bringing in. Two guys from Texas that have played together already probably have some chemistry. And he played 146 snaps in the A gap, 299 in the B gap. He actually played 129 snaps in the C gap, which is, you know, outside the, could be outside the tackle. And he had his highest grade in C gap, which is kind of fascinating, but his A gap grade 76.5, B gap grade 78.9. So he's pretty much the same player either place. And one of the differences with Alfred Collins is he's long. So we talked about these short armed guys. Alfred Collins is bigger in that regard. And what PFF says about him, they comp him, by the way, to A'shaun Robinson, longtime nose tackle in the league, former five-star recruit. He competed in football, basketball, and track. He played 10 games as a true freshman, and he stepped in as a full-time starter in 2024. And so he's 6'5", again, it says 315, but he's up to 332. He's more of an interior defensive lineman than an edge player. Good length for an interior player, paired with a strong upper body, powerful hands, allow him to dictate stack and shed moves and fight through double teams. However, his height and length, again, 6'6" versus these guys that are 6'1", the height and length also presents challenges as he naturally struggles with leverage. His biggest drawback is how slow he can be to disengage. It's not that he can't shed blockers, but rather that he lacks urgency. So his weaknesses are, you know, pursuit and being able to get off some of these blocks. His run defense grade, 69th percentile, his run stop percentage, 39th percentile. The interesting thing with Collins is that he is a better pass rusher. So he has like an 81st percentile pass rush grade and a 73rd percentile pass rush win rate. That's not why you're drafting this guy. You need him to be a nose tackle that can stop the run. I think Alfred Collins would be an interesting name for the Seahawks. I don't know if he's really ideally what they're looking for. I think he in some ways is a more of a converted defensive end than a true nose tackle. So while he fits kind of the size and length part of this and has played that position, I'm not sure he's the best fit for the Seahawks. Doesn't mean he's not on their board. And he is 71st on the PFF big board. But I'm just not sure he's the right fit for what the Seahawks are after. And I'm not sure he profiles as a primary run defender. Okay, another name. This one's more familiar. Maybe all these names are familiar to you, but Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant's a guy that some people have going as early as the first round. And he is 6'4", 331 pounds. And This is a guy that a lot of people thought was going to just light things up with his athletic testing. Hasn't done that as much. He ends up with a, 71st percentile defensive tackle. He is an 83rd percentile nose tackle. So if you narrow it down to nose tackles, his explosion grade's good. His vertical, 31 inch vertical, 87th percentile. Broad, not as great, but still 72nd percentile. 40 yard dash, I think I was expecting a little bit more. It ends up being 71st percentile, 5.13 40. He did have a 91st percentile 10 yard split. And that matters the most for obviously guys playing in a short area like a nose tackle. Decent, but not great agility grades. And Grant's a guy that obviously Mike McDonald knows. He knows him well. Michigan ties are there. And here's what PFF, their scouting guide, says about him. Former four-star recruit from Maryville, Indiana. In high school, he played on both sides of the ball as a guard and a defensive tackle. Hey, well, maybe he can do both for the Seahawks. While also competing in shot put and track and field. At Michigan, he played exclusively on the defensive line. Grant has ideal size for the nose tackle position, standing at 6'3", weighing 340 pounds. He also possesses rare quickness for his size. That quickness flashes in pure pass rush situations when shooting gaps. His hand speed can match his lower body quickness, but not always. Too often his hands are slow or appear flailing. His biggest issue is he isn't always in attack mode. While some of his assignments involve looping or containing, there are too many snaps where he hesitates rather than attacks. When he does play with aggression, he is a force. Their comp for him is BJ Raji, which I don't love. His run stop percentage looks like 90th percentile. Run defense grade, 78th percentile. He only played 170 snaps in the A gap, 368 in the B gap. He did grade out a little bit better as a B gap defender, 81.4 there, 77 as A gap. I mean, as far as the highest upside choice that they could make, there's no doubt Kenneth Grant is that. He is 17th on the PFF big board. I mean, that's incredibly high. I'm concerned a little bit about spending a first round pick on a guy that does not have truly elite athletic ability. If he had ended up just blowing things out, I would have been much more excited. Daniel Jeremiah dropped the Dexter Lawrence comp. And when I talked to Ryan Fowler about that, he was like, nah, I don't really see that in his game. If you could have a guy that has that kind of potential, he's easily a first round pick. I'm just not sure that's who Kenneth Grant is. And so if you told me that the Seahawks spend their first round pick on an offensive lineman and they spent even pick 52 on Tyleek Williams, I'd be much more comfortable with that kind of approach than going in on a first round pick for Kenneth Grant. So that is another one of these defensive tackles, nose tackles, as the case may be. There's a few more I want to take a chance to talk through with you all. We talked about Jamari Caldwell. We talked about CJ West. We've talked about Alfred Collins. We've talked about Jordan Phillips. I'm going to give you a name that you may not know, at least in this respect. He's a name we've talked about a lot, and one of my favorite prospects in this class. But he's a guy that, interestingly, if I look at, I want to make sure I've got this right, because I'm getting different information from different places, and I want to make sure I'm giving you guys the right data. Snaps by position, detailed. Well, the guy's name is JJ Pegues, and he has not played as much A-gap, but he has had some time there. 39 snaps last year. And part of the reason I wanted to bring him up, where did he show up here? Darn it. Gonna have to refresh this screen to get the look I'm looking for. There was a reason that he came up for me. So JJ Pegues is the guy that used to play tight end, played defensive tackle, then became a Wildcat quarterback for Ole Miss as well. And he's somebody who had an 80 grade as a run defender. And he is a former weightlifter, wrestler. That is the wrong guy. Hold on. What happened here? Where did JJ Pegues go? There he is. So his weight right now, and this is where I was getting different information, 6'2", 309. I had him as bigger than that. I had him at 320. So I'm trying to verify where these things are. 309, it looks like what he is. So he may not be actually someone we can really talk about. I have not been thinking about him as a nose tackle. I think about him as more of a three tech. But So I don't know if this makes sense to go much farther on. There was something I found on him that had me wanting to share more with you guys about him relative to nose tackle stuff, but I don't think it's worth doing. We'll come back to JJ Pegues another day. Certainly one of my favorite prospects in this class, but not a guy to probably go into today. All right. So next guy that we will talk about, let's see, who's a name. I see a couple. How about, is Cam Horsley in this group? I don't think he is. I'm going to keep going. We talked about Caldwell. Thor Griffith. This is one of the guys I wanted to bring up. 6'2", 320. See if we've got him in. Oops, does not look like they got him in this draft guide, but we can look at him in this PFF tool. So Thor Griffith is a guy that played for Louisville. He is 6'2", 320 pounds, and he's played, you know, as much as 140 snaps in the A-gap over the years. He has a 84 run defense grade, which was one of the best in among interior defenders. And he had an 8.5% run stop rate. He's really like an interesting day three, very late kind of guy that you could look at for the Seahawks. He has certainly improved over time. And as a matter of fact, let's take that back. He has started in 2022 with a 90.5 grade. He then had an 89.2. He actually dropped to 84.3 this year. So he's gone the opposite direction. He is someone who comes with a little bit of pass rush as well. And he had kind of his best game against University of Miami. If you want to watch him play his best, that was where he stood out. But he's a guy that I think is interesting as a day three, late day three kind of. If you haven't filled out your nose tackle, he could be a guy you look at. But there's another guy that I like better in that area, and that's Cameron Jackson. Cam Jackson, guy that I really liked watching at the Senior Bowl as well as at the Combine. And let me see if I can find what I'm looking for on him. Cameron Jackson. He absolutely fits the mold of a nose tackle. And I'm trying to see if I can get this extra data on him, but I don't think they've got him in this draft guide. Just too bad. They have Landon Jackson, but they don't have Cameron Jackson. So what I can share with you about Cam Jackson is this is a guy that really is just built to be a nose tackle. That's his body type. That's where he belongs. He is 6'6", 342 pounds. So he is longer. And if I look up his RAS score, let's check that out together. Jackson. Cam Jackson. Do they still not have a RAS score for him? Doesn't look like they do. Huh. No, they do not. Interesting. I wonder why. Anyway, Cam Jackson, again, 6'6", 342 pounds. Definitely has snaps in the A gap. 80.9 run defense grade. His run stop rate is in like the 90th percentile. He's improved each year. He's kind of like a happy-go-lucky guy, you know, smiles a lot, good-natured, not necessarily like the clear alpha kind of personality that you might see in some of these other guys, but a lot of these big guys are kind of happy. You know, Jordan Phillips was a little more intense. You kind of saw that from him when you saw him talking. But Cameron Jackson's a guy that is not going to rush the passer effectively. I think he's very similar to Jamari Caldwell, except I think Jamari Caldwell is a more promising pass rusher. Cam Jackson is more just a straight nose tackle. And so he's a guy that I think of as like a 6th round pick or later that you could get. And I think would be a really interesting prospect for the Seahawks. So that's another big guy that we've talked about. Let me see. Oh, this is, I think the part of why I was going to talk about Piggies, because this one place I'm looking at has his weight at 325, but that's not where the verified weight is for him. So we talked about Jordan Phillips. We've talked about Alfred Collins, CJ West, Tyleek Williams. We talked about why Darius Alexander's not a nose tackle. Talked about Kenneth Grant. Let's see if there's other guys on this list that are. There's another name that I think some people have talked about, Nazir Stackhouse from Georgia. So let's see if I can find the information I'm looking for on Nazir. Probably not in this. So Nazir Stackhouse is 6'3", 320 pounds. He is almost 23 years old, had a decent run defense grade, 83.1. And if you kind of compare Nazir Stackhouse with Thor Griffith, they're very similar. Exact same run defense grade, although Thor Griffith had an 8.5% run stop rate. Nazir Stackhouse had a 3.4%, which is not good. So I don't think that Nazir Stackhouse is nearly the athlete that some of these other guys are, but he played a lot of snaps in the A-gap, 242 snaps last year. Again, his run stop rate, not good. And so that's why, to me, he's probably like a undrafted free agent kind of player. He's not a guy that I would spend a draft pick on, but is a guy that fits the profile of a A-gap nose tackle defender that might be on the Seahawks radar. Let's see if there's any other guys. I think there's a few other guys I was kind of curious about. I'd looked at Tim Smith from Alabama. It's not really, he's just not, doesn't fit the profile. Which else? Who else? We've talked about Thor Griffith. Ty Robinson is not a nose tackle. So I think we've really covered, I think we've covered the top guys that make sense relative to the big guys in this class. And I think the guy that I'd probably be most comfortable with would be like Tyleek Williams is probably way up there for me. After him, like, I think the Jamari Caldwell kind of guy or a Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips would be really interesting. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure he fits as the nose tackle at the next level. I'm not sure he's big enough for it, but he's certainly strong enough for it. I really like the person. I'm actually going to see if I can get him on for an interview, but I like the idea of, you know, Jamari Caldwell on day three, maybe a Cam Jackson on day three, but Tyleek Williams is a guy that could be a difference maker on the interior line and pair with Byron Murphy for many, many years. So I think that's probably where I end up. I'm curious where you guys are, if you have favorites of the guys that we've talked about. Before I let you all go, there was some news that I know everyone's curious about my reactions to. Joe Milton was traded to the Dallas Cowboys this morning for a late round pick. I have not yet seen what the compensation was. I just know that they said it was a late round pick. Joe Milton, let's see. Seventh round. Oh, a fifth round pick. So they traded Joe Milton and a seventh round pick to the Cowboys for a fifth round pick. So they basically probably got the equivalent of a sixth round pick, which is what they used to draft him last year. I think it's a little bit odd that the Cowboys are the team that traded for him. Like, he's just going to sit behind Dak Prescott. Okay. I think it's a little odd as well that the Patriots were so willing to move him for, you know, a fifth round pick is not nothing, but I personally would much rather have Joe Milton on the roster than a fifth round pick. I think he has more interesting upside than you're going to get for most players on as a fifth round pick. But I don't have much of a reaction other than I think the guy earned a chance to compete for a spot. I don't think he's going to really get it in Dallas. So it feels like he's just in a different place sitting on the bench. But, you know, Dak Prescott's getting up there in years. Maybe after this contract, Joe Milton will be their guy. We'll see. All right. If you haven't given the show a like, click subscribe. I would greatly appreciate it if you took your time to do that. And also, make sure you check out Real Hawk Talk last night. You will enjoy it. It was really good. I enjoyed it as well. Folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been another episode of Hawk Blogger Mornings. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.